A badge of honor. Police officers and first responders wear badges to let their communities know they are here to protect and serve. But that's not how it feels today. And the stress of the job is taking its toll, taking lives through suicide and post-traumatic stress injury. A Badge of Honor podcast features the cast of the same name, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno. Sam, John, and the team offer the first responders workshops through their critical incident stress management teams and mental health liaisons to offer state-certified TCOL credit programs that save lives. It's time to smash through the stigma. It's time to heal from your injury, and it's time to back our blue. Welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Here are your hosts, Sam Horwitz and John Salerno.
Hey, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. On this very special edition, 9/11 edition, you know, first off, before I start, I want to send our prayers out to all the family members who are battling today, who in remembrance and everything else. Man, our hearts are with you from Dallas, Texas. And Sam, welcome. You know, I know today is the same thing for you as it is for me and for thousands of others across the country. And we have a very special guest that's coming on today who really has brought, man, smiles and comfort to so many in this area of Rowlett, Texas.
Yeah, John, it's great to be with you and to be able to do this show together today. Our guest today, you said it, comfort. Everybody remembers where they were today, this morning, and what we wanted to do was for those of you who are brand new to a Badge of Honor podcast. And brand new to me and John, we're both 9/11 first responders. I was in Tower One. John responded after. He did amazing rescue work looking for survivors. And over the years, 22 to be exact, you know, we've shared our memories and every city across America. You know, I've been social media all day, and I don't spend a lot of time on social media, but I do want to give a particular shout out to the city that I live in, Rowlett, Texas, because since Friday, Rowlett has turned out to hold events right up through this morning. We were out and with our guest's memorial that he did at Fire Station 2 here in Rowlett. But from Friday's unveiling to Saturday's reading of the names, John, that you and Brian did as part of the 99% Network and a Badge of Honor at Heroes Memorial Bridge Park, to this morning back at Fire Station 2 in Rowlett, and all of the folks from the city, the mayor, the city council. It shows their commitment and their dedication, because I think our mayor, John, literally was two on 9/11. And his words, when he speaks about 9/11, it's like it's like he's old enough to remember that day. And so thank you, Blake Margolis, the mayor of Rowlett. Thank you, Deb Schinder, deputy mayor. Thanks, Jeff Wingett, deputy pro tem, all of the council folks that have come out that read with us. I know for John and I to have that, to have our cities to make it a point to remember and do the right thing. And John, I think I texted you early this morning as I watched from across the lake, and I'm looking at it right now, the city of Rockwall. We have a huge flag lower down to half mast, and how meaningful that whole scene was, and having it play out. It was just,
you know, huge. I know it's wonderful at all these cities around the country, and even last night's Dallas Giant game. I gotta, you know, the NFL did an amazing job with, they really did an amazing job with honoring our heroes, with that huge flag. And, you know, the stadium did something that I felt that no other stadium has done, I don't think, before that I know of, is that they held a moment in silence. And that stadium was quiet. You know, for Giants Stadium to be totally quiet, they held a moment of silence. And I thought that was very respectful. So kudos to the NFL for really honoring our heroes. God bless you guys for doing that.
Yeah. Well, I'll say kudos to the New York Giants. Something tells me they had something to do with it. And the Cowboys are, you know, the patriotic team. So
well, the Cowboys stood fast and with a 40-0 win over the Giants. I'm sure Tigger loves to hear that, but oh well.
it happens. Well, let's get right into our guest because, like I said, we built it up.
Yep.
I'm so blessed. He is also from Rowlett. He is an incredibly talented artist and sculptor. And I get to have and get to visit this memorial to the firefighters 343 that we lost on 9/11. I'm going to try to play a short video here. So bear with me.
For the introduction, that'd be great.
I thought StreamYard would take it off. There we go. I'm still learning with that kind of stuff, but
that was really a wonderful unveiling.
It was phenomenal, and you know, it wasn't a professional video. I think the city of Rowlett, but we'll talk about how you can view a lot more. Without further ado, let's bring Jonathan Millett onto the podcast. Jonathan, welcome to a Badge of Honor podcast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for asking me.
You bet. Now, this was a process that you and the City of Rowlett and the Arts and Humanities Council kept under wraps. Like, seriously, there was no leaking of any kind of information that anybody knew about forthcoming. And just take us through well, first of all, tell us about you and why you wanted to submit this project to the city to be considered.
Yeah, I was first asked to be part of the project, not as actually an artist, but as a judge. I've done some work with the city in the past with the arts committee, and they wanted me to judge the contest. And so they sent me the prospectus, and as I was reading over it, I was like, you know, I really should consider throwing my name in the hat. So I recused myself from being the judge. And when I talked to Debbie, the committee chair, she was like, well, you know, why are you backing out on me? And I was like, well, I'm going to actually apply for it myself. I'm going to try and see if I can kind of, you know, get the commission. A personal story for me is that I have a son with special needs, and that son loves everything fire related. He's just been enthralled with firemen and anything fire related since he's been very little. And our hobby here in Rowlett is actually most Sunday afternoons, we'll be driving to one of the four stations here and we visit the firemen, and they take him on tour of the trucks. And they all know him by name. They know Marshall. Many of them have no idea who I am, but they know who he is. And, you know, so I thought, well, you know, I owe it to him because we go to fire station 2 all the time and visit. And, you know, I know if I walked and saw someone else's sculpture in front of that, I'd always be like kicking myself like, oh, I should have tried to have that sculpture myself. And so, you know, I thought, well, I owed it to him to try and have a sculpture there that represented, you know, 9/11, but then also was from our family as kind of a gift from that, and something that he could be a part of. And so that's really kind of the precedence of where I kind of got involved in that, you know, with the sculpture there.
Now, you've been doing art for a long time. You're a resident of Rowlett. What do you do full time?
Yeah, I'm a full-time teacher. I teach at Trinity Christian Academy in North Dallas. I've been teaching art there. I'm in my 32nd year to teach there. I got my master's degree at Pratt Institute in New York. And so I'm very familiar with the Twin Towers. I would give myself weekly field trips when I was in graduate school up there, where I had to go into the city to the museums and galleries and stuff like that as part of my educational. And so I would go through the Twin Towers, the base of that. On many occasions, I would go, you know, through the subway system that was right under the towers. So I was very familiar with that area, traveling through there kind of on a weekly basis for over a couple year period. You know, so, you know, 9/11, you know, obviously as a teacher, when that hit, we were watching it in the classroom. So I was watching it with my students as that all, you know, went down. And it was just heart-wrenching, as it was for all Americans, of just, you know, this occasion and just something you couldn't believe was happening and couldn't believe was happening to our country and in a place that I knew, you know, was very familiar with. And so it was, you know, a very heartbreaking kind of incident to kind of watch.
So let me ask you,
John, for those of you who are just tuning in to the podcast, you're listening to Jonathan Millett. He is the artist sculptor who it's an incredible piece. We're going to get into what it exactly looks like, because I know the video is hard. It's not super close up. We got to take our first break. We will be right back.
What is the role of American government anyway? Is the role of government to decide where I can go and where I can't? Is the role of government to work tirelessly to destroy vital infrastructure that keeps goods and services from my customers? Is the role of government to choose who can drive, fly, or ride according to mandated stipulations that threaten my body, health, mind, and conscience? Without medical freedom legislation in place, our rights and freedoms are one vote away from being dissolved. Individually, change is improbable, but as an aggregate, attainable. It's time to act with one voice. My voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
And my voice.
To protect our freedom, creating one voice that cannot be ignored. This requires your voice, too. Your voice, your feet, your vote, not just at the ballot box, but training to be a poll watcher, precinct chair, judge, or early ballot counter, so you are doing all you can to protect the fairly counted American vote. Move Freely, America. Go to movefreelyamerica.org to find a chapter near you. Plug in, donate, and help our legislators defend our God-given rights under the Constitution. Move Freely, America, because my voice
and my voice,
together with your voice, we're one voice that cannot be ignored. Donate today. MoveFreelyAmerica.org.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor on a special 9/11 edition with John and Sam. And our guest artist and creator of a beautiful monument in front of Rowlett Station 2 right here in Dallas, Texas, is Jonathan Mitt. Right? Mitt?
Millett.
Millett. I apologize.
Don't put your glasses on, partner.
I can't see. Because I'm on my phone.
I understand.
But before we took the break, we were discussing your background, and you've been in teaching for over 30 years, and you were in the Twin Towers, and you crossed the Twin Towers. You knew New York City pretty well from Pratt Institute. The first plane hit when you were here in Dallas while you were teaching class. Did you ever, in your wildest imagination, think 22 years later that something that you created would bring so much back to our first responders?
Yeah, no, that is a kind of a surreal experience, because I knew, you know, when that happened, it was just a heart-wrenching. And I feel very humble, because I know that it's a very hard thing to try and, you know, how do you talk about such a big event? How do you talk about something that has such, you know, kind of a history and emotion to it? You know, so I never imagined myself that I would one day be doing this and be, you know, actually being able to create a memorial or a sculpture for it. And so, you know, but quite honestly, I was quite humbled by it, but I was also quite intimidated by it as well. You know, the whole process was very kind of intimidating for it, but was very thankful for the opportunity to be able to do it and for the opportunity to be able to show, you know, to be able to give back honestly to the community in this way. So.
And well, the creation, the creation is unique in a way of with the Maltese crosses that you have on there. And they are perfect. I don't know how you did it, but you squared it out perfectly. Everything is, it's gorgeous. And at night it is even more stunning than during the day.
Have you been able to see it at night yet? I don't know if you've been able to get by and see it.
I have seen pictures of it. I have not been there at night, but man, I saw the pictures, and I'm sure getting there in person at night is going to be even more rewarding.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. Yeah, so I went and, during the commercial break, I went and grabbed my maquette of it so you could kind of get an idea of what that looked like. And so it is Twin Towers. I'll lift up so the viewers can see fully. On the base of it, it says, "We will never forget." On the base, it's etched in stone. And then you have the Twin Towers that are there. So this was my maquette for the study that I submitted to the city. And it's the two Twin Towers, and there's 343 fire crests that are cut out. And inside of it is actually a piece of plexiglass with the name of each of the firefighters and their battalion etched into it. And so during the day, you can come up and you see that. But at nighttime, there's LED lights inside the towers that light up and illuminate. So you see 343 of those that are lit up in kind of a light blue. We wanted that to represent the souls of those firemen that gave their lives, you know, as a sacrificial way. And so that kind of illuminates at night. So, yeah, it's really exciting to see that and just to see the presence of it. You know, it does have a real presence at night when you look at it.
Now the base is also significant in its design as well, correct?
Absolutely. The base is a pentagon shape because it wasn't just we you know, oftentimes we want to think about just the Twin Towers, but it wasn't just the Twin Towers, right? It was the field in Pennsylvania. It was also the base that was there as well. And so, you know, the Pentagon, I should say. So it's a pentagon shaped base. On each of the sides, it says, "We will never forget." And then 9/11/01 on the other side. And it's purposeful in its design that each side has one word on it. So you can't see the whole phrase at once, because I really want the viewers to draw people in where they have to come up and like, oh, let me walk around and read what it says. But then at the same time, then you start to see it. It's like, oh, guess what? There's also, words in there. There's letters in there, and you can see, you know, that there's names in there, and you start to realize, you know, hey, this is about something, you know, everyone's represented there, the firemen that were lost their lives that day on there.
Yeah. And it's, I was able, after our reading of the name ceremony on Saturday, I was able to have John and his wife come out to Fire Station 2, is just up the road. Well, John, I'll let you explain why it is just the impact.
Yeah. Well, you know, my wife, Tara, she had lost her cousin, Gerard Duffy. And one of the first names she saw when she walked up to the monument was Gerard's name. And it's significant to myself as well. I lost 13 friends, but Pete Gansey's name, who's chief of the department, was right there up close and, you know, personal. And it just, when you have that deep connection with the people that are on that monument, it's stunning. It engulfs your whole insides. And makes you cry. it really gets you emotional in a good way, in a very good way.
Yeah.
The comfort you talked about. Yeah, for sure. Jonathan, can you tell us what it's entitled, and then kind of on the top, the figures that we see, just explain who they are?
The title of the piece is called "In the Darkest Valley." I've just lost the title. "In the Darkest Valley, Grace and Mercy," or "Goodness and Mercy Will Follow," is the title of it. So in the darkest valley, goodness and mercy will follow. It really comes from Psalm 23. "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, thy word kind of comforts me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," right? And the Lord leads. It's kind of like there's the Lord leads there. And it's this idea that out of dark times, there is mercy and grace. And I loved hearing you say that in a good way, you, as seeing those names, was cathartic, and it did something for you, and it was like this graceful, and hopefully that's what we want this piece to be about, is this kind of idea of grace and mercy, that coming out of the darkest times in our lives, you know, we don't just stay there. We're not just embedded in the tragedy of 9/11. Yes, it was tragic, but it also brought our nation closer together in certain ways. It also made us have to rethink some things that we needed to think about, you know, foundationally as a country. It made us to see people as differently than one another, you know, from one another, as like, these are my neighbors and these are people I care about. And maybe yesterday I wouldn't have talked to them, but now today I'm going to see how they're doing. I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to say, hey, I care about you. And those things are very important qualities. And so very purposely, I wanted the firemen, especially up top, to represent two things. I wanted one fireman to be holding his axe and geared up and his helmet's on and he's ready to go. And that's the fire chief. We cast him for that. And on the top of his helmet, it says fear no evil on there. And then, you know, comfort and justice is on written on his axe that he's holding. And it's the idea that he's about mercy. And that's what firemen do. That's what you all did. And I thank you for that, for your years of service where you went out with mercy, helping those in need without question to who they were and if they could afford it or, you know, if they deserved it. That doesn't matter, right? You went out and you served them and you gave to them and you were going to help them no matter what. What a beautiful indication of that. And so I wanted that one to be part of it. So that tower is facing as the trucks leave the station. That's the chief that's looking at them as they leave and go away. As the truck comes back in and comes into the station, then they have the other one where you know, the fireman is holding his helmet there and almost this kind of a solemn kind of a pose. But in the casting process, as I was doing this with my son, who I cast for this, I started realizing it's like he looks like he's praying. It looks like he's in this meditative stage. And I thought, you know what, that's perfect, because that really is the state of how I want them to come in. And I want them to realize, hey, our part as a community and our part of people in supporting you and the way you support us is to pray for you and to have grace for you and to have understanding that this is what your job is. You're coming to serve us and we need to serve you as well. So I hope when people see the monument and they see it, that they do have a positive sense out of it, that they do feel this sense of hope, this sense of mercy, the sense of grace that's out of there. But they also don't see it just as like, okay, this is what others bring to me, but what do I bring to the equation as well? Hopefully that question can be asked of, hey, we need to be praying for these firemen and these first responders and the people that have gone through things. And I really appreciate your ministry and what you're doing to help people that maybe have post-traumatic kind of issues with things that they've gone through, through 9/11, through things that they've had to wrestle with. And what a beautiful, you know, thing you're doing in order to reach out to those people. So I really want to praise you guys and appreciate that, because, you know, that's a very positive thing as well. And you know, it's amazing that this sculpture really kind of lines up with your vision of what you're doing, of just this kind of idea of like, hey, there's hope out of this process of that, you know, and there's this way that we can serve one another. And that's, to me, that's the hope, right? Is that we can come close together. We don't have to have these divisions that we see in our country. We don't have to have the hatred and those things that kind of divide us. We need to look and say, hey, those are brothers and sisters, and how do we pull them in and how do we help them in those times? So I hope that's what the sculpture, you know, maybe can evoke from people.
Wow, super powerful. Hey, if you guys are just joining us on the podcast, we're talking to artist sculptor Jonathan Millett, who you can see behind him this amazing memorial to the 343 firefighters that we lost on 9/11. We got to take our next break. We will be right back.
Interested in starting a podcast or TV show? Worried about what you'll say and how to keep it engaging? Think you'd like to be a guest on podcast, radio, or TV shows? Hi, I'm Susan Hamilton, owner and founder of OBBM Network, and I would like to invite you to an OBBM media training to get the tools you need for a relaxed and polished performance you'll be proud to share. Our specialized training techniques include role play, voice training, and everything you need to deliver a confident, clear, and engaging interaction. Go to offbeatbusiness.com. Go to the calendar and register for a training that's convenient for you. Dates available now, 214-714-0495.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. We are having our 9/11 special edition with a very special guest, sculptor Jonathan Millett. Millett?
Did I say it right? Yes, Millett.
I'm sorry.
Right.
And, you know, before we ended the last segment, you started describing different aspects of the sculpture that now sits in front of Rowlett Station 2 here in Texas. You know, each part of that sculpture has a meaning behind it. And as everybody will walk up and get a different sense and look at things different, because that's art, everybody has a different perspective of it. You know, I would love to see in the foyer of Rowlett Firehouse, just how you described it prior to our commercial break, the aspects of the how you built this and what brought this in, because that gave me chills, just how you brought everything together. And I think everybody should know everything about that sculpture and what and how it was devised.
Yeah, maybe I was thinking the same thing after you spoke, Jonathan, on Saturday on Saturday, to have like a secondary piece. You know how you go through an art gallery and it explains. Is that in the works? Do you know?
Well, if I know, Sam, you're at the unveiling, and the poem that was written or read at that unveiling, the fire chief loved that, and he actually wants to put that outside of the sculpture to be read in conjunction with it. But I like your idea, because hers isn't as descriptive as what I am with mine. You know, this piece right here, which is the study, we've talked about taking inside the fire station to have a look, some display cases out in the lobby, and having that there. And that would be a great place. And actually, that has kind of, you know, spurred my imagination of like, I can write something up about that, the very specifics of that. So if someone really does want to know, they can come inside and see that on there. Or, you know, the chief, you know, I can talk to him about that. He may also want the same thing outside, where there's this description about, you know, what each layer represents and, you know, the meaning and the content. Because as an artist, I've always worked that way. I like symbolism in art. I want it to have meaning and content. I want it to, you know, not just be, you know, and there's nothing wrong with, hey, a big painting about red and it's beautiful, you know, you just contemplate the color red. But for my art, I really enjoy and like there to be a deeper meaning, a deeper context and hidden symbolism in it. And as you look at it, you start to see other layers of information. And I like that each, you know, yeah, I want people to come to it and interpret it in their own way from their own framework and mind, you know, viewpoint, and hopefully come away with some positive feelings and positive thoughts about that. So I think that's a great idea. So,
but anytime you look at a piece of art, you want to know what was going through the artist's mind as he was creating this, you know, even though we do have our own perspectives of it. I love to know what the artist was thinking, what brought this to, what built this beautiful structure, what was going through his mind, what was his moods, and what inspired him. Your inspirations for it. And like you said, your son and the chief both inspired that. And when we went on, and I no disrespect at all, but when we went there on Sunday, and I got to view it, the pentagram, and that's why I say about the base, I didn't notice the base was shaped as a pentagon until Sam said it's sitting on top of the pentagon shape. To represent the pentagon. And as somebody that just walks up, I would have never known that until she told me. And that's why I think it's so important to have that pointed out to people that approach it, because they may not notice the finer aspects of the sculpture.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there are things like that that are more subtle in the piece that, you know, even the thing of fear no evil, you know, and the idea right. of, you know, hey, in the face of terrorism, that is a great evil, and we're not going to fear that, you know. And I loved our president at the time, George Bush, standing up and saying that, you know, we will not back down from this, and we will not fear this. And you know, I think that our country responded to that, and I think that's an important kind of call continually in our country, that there is evil, and how do you face that evil front on and say, no, we're not going to fear that, but we're still going to, you know, as you guys know, I'm still going to go into the fire. A fire is evil. You know, it's burning, it's taking, it's destroying. You know, one of the things that I've learned over the years with my special needs son, because as we travel around the country, he doesn't only want to visit the fire stations here. He wants to visit any fire station he ever sees. And so he's got t-shirts from now from like 50 different fire stations all over the country. But one thing is they have the same characteristics. we walk to the door, we ring the doorbell. They don't know who we are. And they see him, and they see him in his condition, and they are just so welcoming and so joyful and thankful. And hey, come on in and let's look at the trucks and what questions you have. And even though he doesn't speak, he can sign and he can show. And they'll, I mean, every one of them has just, you know, treated him with mercy and grace and has welcomed him in and just with respect and kindness. And I just realize it's like, you know, there are great men and women in this country that do that every day, in day in and day out, that aren't recognized, but our country is filled with people like that. Firefighters, you know, police department, nurses, doctors, you know, a lot of different occupations where they kind of fit into that category. We really are a country of great people that have that same mindset and that love and consideration for other people. And so to me, that is the fear no evil. Those are the people that will go to that extent of the front lines and jump out to help someone else. And so, yeah, again, I think that's a great idea to really kind of, you know, reinforce that kind of message that's there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so how long did the process take?
We've been working about a year and a half on this, this sculpture. So it, you know, at first I had to submit a proposal, kind of a written proposal and some sketches. And from there, I think there's 42 different artists that submitted. And then the committee whittled down to three artists that they felt like really captured the vision of what they were looking for and what the chiefs really, in particular, what the chief really was envisioning for it. And then from those three artists, they asked us to make a maquette of that and then do a presentation. And so they brought the one artist was from California, another one was from Oregon. And then I happened to be local. And so that, you know, they brought us in and had us make a maquette. So this is what I made for that to show kind of here's my idea. And then they had that on public display at the city of Rowlett. And then, you know, some people came in a committee. Once they looked at that, then they voted and figured out which one they really felt represented what they really wanted the vision for this to look at. And then from that process, we tried to make that was really close to last year's 9/11, too close for us to make. It would have been really almost impossible to make. So we extended out and just say, okay, well, let's just shoot for the next, you know, the year. But it gave us more time to really refine it, to really go through the process and do it correctly. We didn't want to rush it and have it done, you know, not correctly or not really, you know, have to leave some elements out that we really would wish were on there. And so this gave us time to really kind of work on it and hone it and refine it and make it as, you know, the best and beautiful that we could. You know, and so I was glad we did that and you know, able to then roll it out, you know, this year on 9/11. So, you know, right before it, you know, for this year for the celebration of that.
Talk about a project that you definitely don't want to leave stuff out, especially it's your vision and the meaning and everything that you've expressed to everybody watching and listening. It deserves that 100%. So thank you. And thank you to the folks that said, yeah, let's extend this out and get this done right. Hey, if you're just tuning in, we are talking with Jonathan Millett. He is a Rowlett resident right here. Yes, the great city of Rowlett in Texas. And he is an art teacher. And what you see behind him is the maquette of what exists in real life out at Fire Station 2 in Rowlett, and everybody can take that in. We've got to take our next break. We will be right back after this.
Look, when you need to respond to an aggressive situation to protect yourself, your family, or your property, understanding your firearm and legal position are critical. Officers know your skills are only as good as your commitment to training. So know what you're doing, so when you're in a vulnerable situation, we can count on your response. Whether you're a beginner or a licensed gun carrier, Carry in Texas offers basic firearms training, Texas permitless carry courses, license to carry, and basic 2A courses so you can understand the responsibilities, situational awareness, and learn the technical skill required when you carry your firearm. Go to carryintexas.com to find the right course for you. Join me, former United States Secret Service agent Samantha Horwitz, on the range for beginner basics, LTC prep, and range practice. Go to carryintexas.com today. That's carryintexas.com.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam and our guest, John Millett. This beautiful sculpture that sits in front of Station 2 in Rowlett. What road is that on, Sam?
Schrady.
Schrady?
Schrady. That's how it's pronounced. It's not spelled like that. But if everybody just looks up Fire Station 2 in Rowlett in the maps, you'll get there.
Well, that's a new station, right? The other station, 2, was closed down. Is on the same street on that, what is that, Dal Rock?
Yeah.
So it's the brand new station, and which is a stunning station to begin with. It's beautiful, and this is definitely a fitting place for this monument. Now, with the monument, I'm glad a hometown artist was chosen to have this, because that really brings a lot of stuff to heart. I saw some of the presentation and the unveiling that you guys did, and the speeches by all the politicians, sitting there listening to them, because they all spoke from the heart. They really, you know, they're not first responders, but you could see the emotion in their faces and how they reacted to it. What was your reaction hearing everybody speak about it?
Yeah, it was a blessing, and it reaffirms what we've already talked about, that this event really pulls people together. Even though we may come from diverse backgrounds, even have different diverse political beliefs and things of that nature, when it comes to events like 9/11 and what happened at the Twin Towers, there's a unity there. We all feel the sense of tragedy. We all feel for those families that lost, loved ones in that situation. We all feel for the loss of our country, for the great terror that happened to our country. So, in a certain way, it is a unifying kind of event, even though a very tragic event, it also unifies. And you saw that firsthand where as I listened to the mayor speak, and as I listened to the fire chief speak and the arts commissioner speak, that sense was there, that they all had that sense of vision and understanding that there are times and needs where we need to put our personal vision and our personal, things aside and come together in unity and say there are events and there are things that we need to be unified about. And America is one of those things, and our country is one of those. And here's how we can do that, and bigger things of how to serve one another, how to put others first. So we're not just always looking out for what I want or my needs, but how do I put others' needs in front of mine? And so there are times to lay those things down and to say, let's all come together in celebration here, and we can all come and be unified in that. And I thought that was beautiful, and that was very meaningful to me, and quite honestly, humbling. I mean, like I said, as an artist, you love to create, but when it comes to events and things that are just so monumental in nature, they seem beyond your reach. And quite honestly, the first day after I got this commission, I woke up in a terror panic, in my bed, because I'm just like, what did I just sign up for? How do I even tackle such a huge event and huge a thing? And honestly, I hope I do. I hope I've given it honor. I hope I've given it the best I can, as far as just, making people feel, the honor of those people that served out of that. Because I took that very to heart, that this is not something that's light-hearted, not something I should take lightly. This is meaningful to a lot of people, and I knew it would be. And so I wanted to, as a city, with the fire chief, myself, we really wanted to do our very best to make it where it was meaningful to people. And they really came away, like we said, with some positive feelings about it.
The material, the material that it's made out of, the top is bronze.
Yeah, the top is bronze. The buildings are stainless steel. So those are laser engraved. And so those are come off of the laser engraved cutter. So that's why it's so precise in there, with the cutout Maltese crosses on there. And then the base is a combination of concrete and then a stone facade with the words engraved in the stone that's in there. And that stone comes out of Austin. It's a beautiful stone that comes out of there. And so, the different materials kind of coming together, we wanted to, again, that to represent also this kind of an idea of the materials and the different kind of even communities or the different kind of surfaces that kind of come together, but again, create this kind of unified whole through that. You know, it couldn't all be one, the same material. It'd be too costly to do it all in bronze or something of that nature. But it really, the material had to fit what we were trying to say with, you know, the engraved words at the bottom needed to be in stone. The buildings really needed to be in that kind of cut steel. And then the firemen really needed to be in bronze. And so, you know, it was a good challenge as an artist to be like, okay, how do I find the ways to work and all, you know, give those mediums and, you know, how to resource and outsource some things to people to help me in that process as well. So it was a good learning curve for myself as well.
Well, I think one of the things that will keep people, and again, provide comfort for people across the United States with this piece is that you decided to put names, because, you know, as John and I were there and as we knew we were losing people, and then after the smoke kind of cleared and the city created these two beams of light and blue beams for us to always remember where these towers stood. And now we have the Freedom Tower, but before that, these two beams of light. And it kind of, when you were talking about the souls and how you felt you wanted to embody that, and how in New York, you know, those lights, we are taking their souls to heaven. And now to have the light come through your work, illuminate the names, it's the same thing. And that's what is most comforting. And just for me is that the whole point is that we will never forget. And it's the reading of the names and having their names always be there. Yeah. And always, yeah. And it's, sorry, I'm like at a loss for words because it is very moving.
Absolutely. And quite honestly, I was inspired by the two beams of light that they, you know, shown up, because I remember visiting New York after 9/11 and the emptiness I felt in my gut looking down south, and not because I, you know, in New York, you use buildings as like landmarks, like, okay, how do I go south or north? Because you lose direction so easily there. And the Twin Towers were always iconic for me to like get my bearing in the city. And I remember looking down there and being like, there's something huge missing. There's a huge void here that you just felt in your soul. And I remember the first time just seeing that and just how sad I was of just knowing, you know, not only the buildings, but just the loss of life that was there. So I was moved by that, you know, artistically. It was just a beautiful vision when they had those two lights that shone for so long there. And so I did want to represent that. And honestly, I think that's how I won the bid, is because I incorporated this idea of the lighting inside the buildings that would illuminate and have this kind of extra kind of quality to it, that it's not just seen from day, because a lot of times sculptures are that way, or they light them up from outside at night or something like that. But this one, it's like, no, it illuminates from inside as well, the interior. And not only that, but you have the names of the firemen that are there. And you're right, it's you know, you want it to be universal that people can understand it, but it's also highly personal as well. You get into it and you look at it and you see personal names that are in there and you realize, no, these are people that lived and died and worked, and people love them, and people had families, and you know, people are going to come and see it and know them and you know, firsthand, and know these peoples and these names that are there. And so that's very meaningful. You know, and it's something the fire chief really fought for, because it was at one time we're like, can we really do this or not? And he was like, absolutely, we have to do this. And I'm glad we stayed with that vision and said, yeah, let's put the names in there, because I think that it gives it that extra special, you know, kind of meaning and significance to it, and makes it really, you know, quite unique in that way as well.
It absolutely does. Hey, we got to take our last quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
To the Health Engineer Show, I'm Kurt Buechle, the health engineer, right here on the Offbeat.
Hi, I'm Larry Cortez.
Hi, my name is Susan Hamilton, and you're watching Offbeat. Hi, this is Doreen Milano. Welcome to Big IG Small Business, where we will be talking to Terry Arjala.
Hey, welcome back to A Badge of Honor podcast with John and Sam. And we are just about wrapping up our 9/11 special edition with artist and sculptor Jonathan Millett from Rowlett, who who erected a beautiful double statue of the Twin Towers that it now sits in front of Station 2 over in Rowlett. And we were discussing so much that went into it. It's very inspirational. It's going to be very meaningful for generations to come to be able to go there and read those names and just absorb everything of what happened on that fateful day 22 years ago. This is going to stand for so many people to see. Even after we're all gone, this will live on forever. And I think that's what also makes it such an iconic monument.
Yeah. Jonathan, you do other art as well. Where can everybody listening and watching, how can they connect with you? What's the best way?
My website's being redone right now, so I wish I could go there. But just do Facebook, Jonathan Millett on Facebook would be a great way of doing that, connecting. Or they can go to jmillett at Gmail or jmillett65@gmail.com. They can, connect with me that way as well on there. I have artwork at the Cerulean Gallery here in Dallas that I have represented that's down there as well. So that's a local gallery that I show work with that's here. There's another one called Mary Tomas, but after COVID, they kind of retired and closed their doors. But yeah, I was represented by that gallery as well here in Dallas. So.
And are you on, we connected, I think, on LinkedIn. Do you also have Instagram?
I'm LinkedIn and Instagram as well. Yeah, it's either one of those. It's great. So.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again. And we met at the unveiling. Appreciate, I know it was a last minute ask. Couldn't think of a more fitting tribute to our show today than to have you on. You are local. You're right up the street from me. And this is the whole show, the word comfort has been going through my mind, and to have this right here for me, and I know for John and his wife, at any time to just drive over there and take a couple of minutes, take an hour, whatever it is, to remember and read the names and truly never forget September 11th. So we thank you so much, and please don't forget to check out Jonathan's other works, because he's hugely talented, and check him out on social. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you very much. I feel very privileged to be here, and thank you for using that word comfort, because honestly, as an artist, you do stuff and you don't always know if it will translate, and I wanted it to be a piece of, for comfort for people, a memorial of blessing and a memorial for comfort. And so to hear people say that, then it's like, okay, I met my objective. And so I really appreciate
it. You knocked it out of the park.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So, yes.
Thank you. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you very much. You. All right.
Take care, Jonathan.
All right. You too.
It's so
he really did a beautiful job on it, and I know you guys in Rowlett are so proud. I'm a little jealous here in Hearst that we don't have that. Maybe we can get him over to build something over here one day. But that is something that for generations to read the names, and I have to say this, and I it was meaningful to me yesterday. Remember when we were reading the names? And I said, everybody in the world is given that name. That's what we all have in common, right? We can't lose that name. And yesterday, the fifth grader next door to me is doing a whole big story in his school about 9/11, right? So he came over and he wanted to interview me, which I thought was very cool that the school is doing that. They're doing the whole class project on 9/11 over at Eagle Mountain Lake. And I gave him my helmet. The same helmet. I let him take it to class with him, So I'm speaking to his dad, and his dad, one of their relatives, was in the Holocaust, and she still had the numbers tattooed on her arm, And I said, see, this is where reading the names is so important. During the Holocaust, they gave people numbers. They took away their identity, right? And they were just a number. We can't let our heroes just be numbers. That 343, even though it's significant in the loss of life, those are 343 names. There's 23 police officers. There's 36 Port Authority officers. You know, so we can't just put the numbers to those, because if we do, we take away that person's name. We got to read their names. We got to say their names, and they'll live forever.
Yeah, and you know, this is a couple of things to mention. September is Suicide Awareness Month, and not only the work that we do, but many other organizations that we're partnered with. You know, there's still, John and I still have our stuff from 9/11. There's a lot of survivors out there, a lot of folks like us that were right there front and center that deal with stuff. And it makes a difference that you remember. But more importantly, the Communities Foundation of Texas, through their North Texas Giving Day, we're totally honored to be part of that community. So North Texas Giving Day is the 21st of September, but it is open right now. So you can go to North Texas Giving Day, type in a badge of honor, and please give whatever you feel is appropriate from your heart. The money goes back to our first responders so we can do our post-traumatic stress awareness and suicide prevention workshops and provide other amazing opportunities for them. I also want to give a shout out to ATO's Bridging the Divide. We're partners with ATO through Carry the Load. But if you've never listened to that podcast, please go and listen to it. Super special. They released the podcast that I did with them today at 8:46.
Oh, wow. I saw that. I didn't get to watch it, but I saw that they released it.
It's the little thing. So listen on Spotify. It's a pure podcast. So I thank those guys so much. They did a phenomenal job, and thank you for just remembering and memorializing today. And because it's definitely not about me, it's about the story and remembering. And then our partner Carry the Load. We're part of the Continuum of Care program, which means everything that we do, again, giving to our first responders and our veterans as well. If you've never heard of Carry the Load, check them out at carrytheload.org. And we have got a lot of activities, a lot of fundraisers coming up. So please go to our website, abadgeofhonor.org, and you can click on the events tab, see where we are. To all of our first responders, we pray for you every single day. Like Jonathan said, you answer the call, you run towards the danger. You run towards the beast, and we're trained to tackle it and tame it. But it leaves its residue. It leaves its scars. And know that you have a community that surrounds you, that loves you very much and thanks you from the bottom of our hearts for what you do. To our veterans, thank you for the good fight so that John and I can do a show like this. We have freedom in this country. To all of our active duty personnel serving around the world, thank you for keeping us, our shores, safe wherever you serve from. John, take us home.
Well, it wouldn't be... the only thing I could say is to everybody is just please never forget. Peace.
Till next week, everybody. Thank you so much.
A Badge of Honor podcast is produced for the OBBM Network podcast and protected under copyright law. For content permissions, please submit your request to abadgeofhonor.com on the content page. For OBBM Network programming information, please call 214-714-0495 today.